Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time. It is presented by Ortho Cincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. You can go online to orthocincy.com to learn more and to schedule your next appointment. That's orthocincy.com. I'm your host, Double T, Travis there. Appreciate you tuning into the show on this Monday, March 11th. Plenty to get to. As always, 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation. We're going to be talking high school wrestling from over the weekend in the state of Ohio, the IHSAA Boys Basketball State Tournament. Rolling on, we're going to talk about the area teams that participated at the regional round over the weekend. Tell you who remains in the state tournament in those respective classes, and then we'll take a preview at what some teams have coming back this coming winter in high school basketball. So that'll take up a good portion of our show. We're also going to talk archery. We had plenty of teams in the area competing at the NASP state tournament over the weekend. Batesville doing really, really well. They were the overall champions there. We'll talk a little bit more about that. A former East Central High School track star doing some really great things at the collegiate level. Got a recent commitment from a high school swimmer in the area that we wanted to touch on as well. So those are some of the big things we're going to get to on the show if time allows. One of the things I'm really interested in sports right now, just from a national standpoint, is NFL free agency. It essentially opened today, and there's some news on the Bengals front that I think is pretty topical for anybody that's listening that is a Bengals fan. So again, I'll save that towards the end. If we get through all of the high school sports stuff that we want to talk about, maybe I'll leave myself 3 to 5 minutes, something like that, to talk about the Bengals free agency and draft plans, because it's just something that is interesting me, and it is one of our area pro teams. So again, that'll be at the back end of the show if time allows. Let's go ahead and jump in to wrestling and talk about the OHSAA Wrestling State Championship from over the weekend in Columbus, Ohio, focusing on the Harrison Lady Wildcats, the defending state champions. Of course, last year was the inaugural OHSAA Girls Wrestling State Championship, and these Harrison Wildcat wrestlers have been really crucial to the sport growing in the state of Ohio because they've been at it for quite some time. They were winning state championships before it was under the OHSAA umbrella, and then they win the inaugural one last year. So these young ladies, I think, deserve a lot of credit for the growing popularity throughout the state. And there's many other schools that can be associated with Harrison and help growing the sport as well. It's not them alone, but in our little neck of the world, Harrison has been great in promoting girls wrestling and getting it out there, getting young ladies involved, and having really, really good teams. So it has been a really positive several years for this group, including their senior class, which is going to be a very, very difficult senior class to top as they get further and further into wrestling at Harrison High School with the girls program. But they did fall just a little bit short of defending their state championship. The runner-up at the OHSAA state title over the weekend, Olentangy Orange, which has been a very competitive team with Harrison in previous years, does win the state championship 95-83, comparing those two teams. Harrison, as I mentioned, finishing as the runner-up. And they had eight that competed at the state finals, four of those eight placing in their respective weight classes, with one winning an individual state championship. As a young lady we've talked about quite a bit on this show, she's been on the show with her teammates as well. Chloe Deerwester capping off an incredible high school career with four straight state titles, finishing her senior season 38-0. She did pin all four of her opponents on her way to winning the 105-pound weight class. And in that championship match, she goes up against a young lady by the name of Lauren Ficker, and Deerwester pinning her in a minute and 29 seconds. This was a young lady that was 42-3 on the season. So Chloe Deerwester, again, showing one of the best wrestlers in the state of Ohio. She is going to go on to wrestle collegiately at the D1 level. We can touch on that again here in just a moment, but she is only the third four-time state champion at 105 pounds. An absolute awesome accomplishment, awesome high school career, and again, one of the leaders of this team in blazing that trail and getting girls wrestling to be as popular as it is, particularly in our area and in Harrison, because they've had a great participation with their program. Leah Willen, not a senior, but finishes fifth place at 115, 41-9 on the season. Lily Kinzel, fellow senior, 40-8, her final record, finishing eighth at 135 pounds. She is a two-time state placer and a four-time state qualifier, so a really great career for Lily. Reagan Briggs finishes 36-2. She was third place at 120 pounds, three-time state placer, and a two-time state champion. Caden Baird, Riley Deerwester, Veronica DeCalloway, and Jessica Edwards also competing in their respective weight classes. But again, what a great performance from this team, not only at the state championship, but throughout the year, finishing as the runner-up. I know they're going to be disappointed they didn't win the back-to-back state championships, but they were right there, put themselves in a position to compete for that state championship with Olentangy Orange, and did have one individual champion finishing as the runner-up in the state. Quite an accomplishment, if you ask me. So awesome, awesome season, and it's been an awesome, awesome few years for this Harrison girls wrestling team. Now, I did want to jump back and talk about Chloe Deerwester just a little bit more. I mentioned she was one of the best wrestlers in the state of Ohio. I guess you could argue pound for pound, she is the best wrestler, winning four straight state championships, but she's one of the best in the nation, and she has proved that on multiple occasions, wrestling at the USA Wrestling National Championship in North Dakota this past summer. She earned All-American status, so that's all you need. She finished third at that event, so she is definitely one of the top wrestlers, especially in her weight class at in girls wrestling. And she is going to be attending Presbyterian College to wrestle at the D1 level. This was a story that we had for you in mid-December, this last December. So again, congratulations to her and her teammates on building a fantastic foundation at Harrison High School with that girls wrestling team. And looking forward to seeing what Chloe does specifically at the D1 level. Imagine she's going to continue her winning ways, because that's what it's been for her entire life on the mat, is winning and not much losing. So going to be fun to follow her college career, and of course any others that may be moving on. Lily Kinzel, Reagan Briggs, I'm sure there's a bunch of programs that would love to have them. Jessica Edwards is another senior that has been at this for quite some time. So again, just big congratulations to Harrison girls wrestling. They have been absolutely awesome to cover over the past several years, and no doubt they're going to continue to have some great teams moving forward. So with that, let's move into some boys basketball talk. The IHSAA Boys Basketball State Tournament continuing on over the weekend with some regional matchups that did feature some area teams: Batesville, Switzerland County, and Oldenburg Academy, all competing at their respective classifications. For Batesville, they were the sectional 29 winner out in Greensburg, defeating the Lawrenceburg Tigers in the championship game that we had here on your hometown radio station. They played really great that night, shot the ball really well against a really good defensive team in Lawrenceburg, and it was a different type of matchup for them, taking on number 4 Scottsburg at the Seymour Regional on Saturday. Scottsburg wins the game 84-46. This one was never close. Scottsburg jumped all over Batesville, leading 23-9 at the end of the first quarter. They then turned around and went on a 12-0 run to start the second quarter, essentially ending the game before it even got started. If you look at the scoreboard and you're down 26 points, even in the first half of a high school basketball game, it's near impossible to come back from that. There's just not enough possessions in the game to realistically come from behind from 26 points down. Now, yes, every now and again, something crazy happens and there's an upset like that. But more times than not, probably 99.9% of the time, if you're down 26 in a high school basketball game, you might as well forget about it. But credit to Batesville. They did play Scottsburg strong in the second half, 30-26 in favor of the Warriors. And, of course, they may have been rotating in some other players, trying to stay fresh for the semi-state round. This was just a tough offensive matchup for Batesville. They couldn't muster much on that side of the court outside of Cade Kaiser, who was fantastic, 17 points on 7 of 11 shooting. The rest of the team goes 8 of 26, shooting only 30%. So not going to get it done that way against a really, really good team in Scottsburg that can not only score it on you, but they play pretty good defense as well. And on paper, I think this was a game that always looked like it was going to be an uphill battle for Batesville. They were certainly an underdog in this game based on Scottsburg having a number 4 next to their name, Batesville not having a number next to theirs. If you look at the Sagarin, like I always do, I talk about it all the time, Scottsburg was the second highest, or actually is the second highest rated team in Class 3A right now. They're the top-rated team in the class after the regional round. So right now, Scottsburg on paper is the favorite to win the state championship in 3A, but statistically, this Warriors team has been great all season long. 35th best offense in the state at 63.4 points per game. They have the 13th best scoring defense at 41.7 points per game. And of course, when you do the subtraction there, 4th best average margin of victory at close to 22 points per game. So Scottsburg is used to blowing out a bunch of teams. They've done it all season long. And the fact that they were able to beat Batesville by 38 points is absolutely astonishing, because Batesville is a really good team. So it just goes to show you how great Scottsburg is, and shows you that they should have a really legitimate shot of getting to Indianapolis and maybe cutting down the nets as the 3A champion. Now, their road is going to be difficult, increasingly difficult, as you advance on to the next level. Scottsburg did draw Evansville Bossy, the number 15 team in Class 3A. That will again be a Seymour matchup. Seymour is hosting the semi-state. The winner there will play number 6 Garin Catholic or number 3 Danville. Garin Catholic was the runner-up in 3A last year. So that's a really good side of the bracket in 3A, but Scottsburg looking like the team to beat. And wanted to say, overall, really nice season for Coach Garrett and his Bulldogs. A lot of teams would absolutely sign up in a heartbeat for a 20-6 record and a sectional championship. If you tell any coach across the state of Indiana before the season that that's what they're going to be, 20-6, and they're going to win the sectional and have a chance beyond that, absolutely every coach in the state would be signing up for that in a heartbeat. So a great, great season for the Batesville Bulldogs, unfortunately coming to an end on Saturday. Switzerland County, they also played a game at the Seymour Regional, and they fall 58-53 to Forest Park. Of course, a little bit more competitive game there. Switzerland County did trail most of the contest. They did have a really nice comeback in the fourth quarter and had a potential game-tying three-point basket with less than 20 seconds to play that didn't fall. So they gave themselves a chance late to maybe push it into overtime. Couldn't get that one big shot to fall. They play Forest Park tough, but ultimately end their season with a 15-11 record. It was a really interesting end to the season for Switzerland County. They had a stretch where they won 6 games in a row, and that's when I think they were starting to catch everyone's eye. We knew what they had in Cam Craig, the top scorer in our area. But I think they really started to gel as a team over that 6-game winning streak. Some other guys were stepping up into some key roles, and you're starting to just keep your eye on them a little bit more, saying they're going to be player in that South Ripley sectional, which obviously they were. But then they lose 3 games in a row right before the sectional, and you start thinking maybe the 6-game winning streak was mirage. Maybe they just are one of those up-and-down teams. But the credit to them, they come into the sectional and they win 2 games combined by 3 points. Tough, tough games, but they come away with the win on the Cam Craig game winner in the title game over Hauser, moving on into the regional for the first time in a long time, and just ran into a pretty good Forest Park team that's been at that level previously, so maybe a little bit more seasoned and knew what to expect at the regional level, but still a great season for Switzerland County. Humongous accomplishment to win that sectional, especially when a lot of people were looking at South Ripley and Hauser as the 2 teams to beat. North Decatur, always a tough out. Milan has some talented players. It was going to be a tough sectional to win for any one of those 5 teams. Switzerland County just made the plays in those 2 games that they needed to make to scrape by with a 1 and 2 point win, but that time of the year, you will take wins any way you can get them. Whether you're winning by 36 like Scottsburg or one like Switzerland County, you'll take it no matter what. But again, great season for Switz. Unfortunately, falling a little short against Forest Park, who's moving on to the Southport semi-state. They drew number 16 Park Heritage on the other side. That side of the bracket, number 1 Brownstown taking on number 8 Park Tudor. You still have number 2 Wapahani on the other side, as well as number 6 Fort Wayne Blackhawk, who won the 2A championship last year, and that was a team that was featured at Lawrenceburg's Ray Fernie Classic in December. So some folks around these parts got to see Blackhawk up close and personal here in Southeast Indiana. And then one more team competing at the regional over the weekend, Oldenburg Academy falling 49-42 to Greenwood Christian. Very evenly played game throughout. Saw teams trade leads early. Oldenburg Academy had their final lead at 19-18 and then could just never get over the hump. It was always a pretty close game, but there's one young man for Greenwood Christian who's on the all-name team, I think, Mac Booher. That's a great name, and he scored 14 points right off the bat for Greenwood Christian, their first 14 points, including 3 threes. He finished with a game-high 26 points. Oldenburg Academy was able to match that, getting 13 each from Connor Miles and Jacob Stinger, but it was some other players outside of Booher for Greenwood Christian that made some baskets late in that game. He made some free throws himself, and they were able to outlast Oldenburg Academy for the 7-point win. They'll move on to play number 8 Bethesda Christian at the Washington semi-state. That's going to be a great sight. Hatchet House is absolutely awesome, and the winner of that matchup, well, I don't envy them. Number 1 Bar Reeve or number 2 Evansville Christian, perhaps the top matchup in the state, regardless of class, coming up this weekend at what is now a three-game semi-state, two semifinals, and then a semi-state championship game. So, again, great season of high school basketball in our area. It has officially come to a close for us here at your hometown radio station. If I look back on this season, I feel like we got a lot of really good regular season games, had some big moments throughout the season with guys like Cam Craig and Cole Henry reaching the 1,000 career point mark. Those were some special moments for sure. The sectional games that we called, both in the girls and boys basketball season, were riveting, exceptional games, really hard-fought competitive games. This year, I think, looking at the EIAC, that was probably the most competitive I've ever seen it in boys basketball, or at least in a long, long time. I mean, there was the potential for a 5-way tie going into the last week or two of the season. Greensburg obviously ended up winning it outright, but they didn't get there easy. So really just a lot of great basketball. We had a lot of fun calling those games throughout this season, and we'll be looking forward to August getting here so that we can get back in the broadcast booth for high school football. But we're going to put a little bit of a bow on the boys basketball season. When we come back from a short break, we're going to talk about some of our area teams, the seniors they are graduating, some of the key returners that are coming back next year, to give you an idea what these teams might look like when we get back to talking about basketball in the winter months. So let's step aside for a short break. We'll continue with some crunch time coming up on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3. Welcome back to Crunch Time on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3. Hope you learned something there from Dr. Gordon Yun. If you ever have a foot ankle injury, he is the guy to see, orthosensi.com, to learn more about Dr. Yun and all of the great physicians that they have there. You can find out how you can schedule an appointment. Lots of great information on their website. Again, orthocincy.com. So let's talk a little bit more boys basketball before we move on to some other topics to round out the show. I do want to start with the Batesville Bulldogs because they played in a game over the weekend and were a 3A sectional champion. They are losing 3 seniors, Gus Prickle, Sam Johnson, who were huge in their sectional championship win, and Jack Grunkemeyer, who had a great season as well. So that's tough, graduating those 3 seniors. They've meant a lot to Coach Garrett's program, and they've been a part of a lot of wins over the last couple of seasons. But for Coach Garrett, he does have plenty of experience coming back. It's always nice to look at your roster and say, oh, We got a young man named Cade Kaiser that's going to be a senior next season. He's a fantastic basketball player. So a star player coming back for Batesville. Trenton Lures, a sophomore guard. I thought he looked really good in the sectional. Braden Maple, Caden Drake, a couple other young guys that were kind of sprinkling in as rotational players. Those are guys that are going to see their roles expand, you would think, going into next season. So the cupboard, certainly not bare for Batesville. Tough replacing those three seniors, but when you got Cade Kaiser coming back, that's a good place to start. Looking at the Lawrenceburg Tigers, the team they beat in the sectional championship, five seniors gone, Ben Cornett, Charlie Meyer, Gerald Taylor, Paul Romero, and Xavier Eads, who missed all of the season with a knee injury. And again, it's a similar situation where you got a couple of players, particularly in Meyer and Cornett, that meant a lot to this program. I think Taylor played a ton of varsity as well. But it's the name of the game. You're going to lose seniors each and every year. And I should have prefaced this whole segment at the start that we're assuming that all of these young men are going to come back and play again next season. You never know what might happen. Maybe there's another sport they want to focus on. But we're under the assumption that if you're on the roster this year, you're coming back, at least for this exercise. And there are plenty of key returners for Lawrenceburg. I think they're going to have a really nice team at next year, starting with senior players like Noah Kniga, Cooper Bobo. They've been starters for Lawrenceburg. J.P. Izzo started all of this year. Dakari Mucker was usually one of the first off of the bench. You also have youngsters like Caleb Cole and Ollie Safavian that were really starting to play more varsity as the year went along. So you got six guys right there that have been there and done that, some more than others, but they got some good experience coming back. I think they had some really nice players on their JV team that can make that transition up to the varsity level. So this is going to be a fun team to watch next year. I think they're going to be in the mix again in the EIAC. Looking at South Dearborn, I'm just noticing that my notes are incomplete here, but they did have a nice senior class. Brody Tiki, Hudson Shackelford, Adam Kunkel, Peyton Hill, Xander Schwab, those guys moving on. And those are guys that played a lot of varsity basketball, especially if you look at Tiki, Shackelford, and Kunkel. They were playing early on. Tiki was a rotator as a freshman. Shackelford, Kunkel, they played varsity basketball early on. So this is a group of guys that won a lot of games and meant a lot to this program. They were great leaders this year for their young kids. A lot of freshmen playing this season. Tyler Christian, Mason Lane, Scout Gray. That's kind of your foundation for this next season and beyond. There's some other great freshman players, sophomore players. Mason Hamlet played some big minutes for them this year. So they got some guys coming back. This should be a really exciting time at South Dearborn. A lot of people have lauded the freshman class that they have. It's a team that didn't lose much at their younger ages, middle school, things of that nature. Now that they're transitioning into JV and varsity basketball players, if they can put it all back together at that level, this is a team that can win a lot of games and contend for championships. So I think Coach Cosgrove got a really nice bunch coming back, even though it's going to hurt losing those seniors that I just mentioned. But again, this is the name of the game that you're talking about every year in high school basketball. It's very rare that you see a team bring back everybody. And if you do bring back everybody, that means that you missed a whole entire class that's not even coming out to play. So another topic for another day. I wanted to look at East Central. They're losing Dylan Maxwell, a well-rounded player. Eli Ertl, Noah Mersman, a couple big guys there. Connor Kuhn, who did some really nice things for the program. But they, too, got five solid varsity players coming back that played a lot this year. Carson Pozonka, one of the best scorers in the area. Eli Selhorst, Joel Richter, Peyton Hofer, those guys can all really shoot it. And Nolan Maple played a role on the team this year as well. So Coach Teasing, second year, he's got some players to work with. Looking forward to seeing how that shakes out. Out at Milan, Jackson Voss, Ben Reilly, Ethan Pierce, Justin Castletine, Jacob McGuire, Trenton Lankferman, those seniors graduating this spring. Returning, however, their top two scorers, Gabe Reilly and Micah Norman, both around 15 points per game scorers as sophomores. So they will be leaders of this team next year. Grant Lankferman, a young player that's a good-looking player. I think he's got a lot of potential. John McCowan, Cole McClellan, good role players on that team. So I think Milan is poised to have a better season next year. South Ripley, real quick, they got Cole Henry coming back. He's absolutely fantastic. So there you have it. Switzerland County, they're losing Kanan Johnson, Dylan Sullivan, Bradley Romans, Jacob Williams. They do have Cam Craig coming back, Cooper Todd, Caden Riley, Mason Peelman, Isaac Williams, to name a few. So some good experience coming back. And, of course, Cam Craig, one of the top scorers in the state. And then at Rising Sun, Gavin Shorten, Nate Elliott, a couple starters. They're going to be graduating. But Brody Morris is back, 17 points per game this season. Ben Shorten, DJ Williams, Aiden White, Casey Fletcher, among some of their rotational players. So Rising Sun's got a good core coming back. So, yes, there's some really great senior players that are going to be graduating, but I think for the most part, almost every team that I mentioned has someone coming back that can be seen as a leading scorer, a good place to start offensively, some good shooters coming back, good role players, defenders. Everybody's got a little something to work with. I don't think anybody's got a completely bare roster where they're kind of restarting from scratch because a couple classes, junior, senior classes, came through that were really good and have graduated. Now they're kind of trying to form another good team with the next couple of classes. It doesn't always work that way. So I'm pretty excited for the next basketball season. I think it's going to be very similar to this one, where we get some really competitive conference games, really competitive sectionals, and a lot of teams that are going to feel good about their chances when the new season starts in November. So that's going to put a bow on the high school basketball season for 2023-2024. All right, let's get to a couple of sports headlines over at EagleCountryOnline.com. Wanted to say congratulations to former East Central High School track and field star Ellie Lingrich, who's doing big things at the collegiate level. It was just recently that she was named to the indoor all-region team by the U.S. Track and Field Cross Country Coaches Association. Just a junior, she earned that recognition after she placed first in the pentathlon at the GLVC Championship. That's a tough one to say. The event features the 60-meter hurdles, high jump, long jump, shot put, and 800-meter run. She was second, third, first, and first in those particular events at the conference championship. Also set a new school record with 3,790 points across those five events. And, well, she was back at it at the D2 Indoor Track and Field Championships over the weekend, placing 10th. So, Ellie Lingrich amongst the best in the nation at the D2 level in that particular event, which I'm not going to try to pronounce again because I butchered it the first time around. And also wanted to hit on South Ripley swimmer Evan Eaglin, who has committed to Heidelberg University, one of the top swimmers at South Ripley High School currently and one of the best in the ORVC. Heidelberg University, if you didn't know, is in Tiffin, Ohio. And for Evan Eaglin, he's been swimming for a long time. He started at the age of 11 at the club level, continued on into a great high school career at South Ripley, where he does hold a couple of individual school records and records in all of the relay events. He's been the top points MVP at South Ripley in this past season, ORVC champion in the 50-yard free, and as a member of South Ripley's 400-yard free relay team. He was also the co-mental attitude awardee along with Milan's Dylan Thomas. So he's going to move on to Heidelberg, continue swimming at a high level, and pursue an education in history education. So congratulations to Evan Eaglin. That's a great story. That and Ellie Lingrich, got to give props there. I'm jumping around here. I'm losing track of what I want to talk about. I did say earlier that we were going to talk about the NASP State Tournament. Archery going on over the weekend. Batesville was the big champion there, the overall tournament champion, as they actually had three teams place first and two teams place in the top three in other divisions. Batesville High School was first in the Bullseye Tournament. Batesville Middle School was first in the Bullseye Tournament, and so too was Batesville Intermediate School. So great job there. They had a couple teams in the 3D competition feature in the top three. So absolutely phenomenal performance from Batesville. South Dearborn, Milan, South Ripley Elementary, amongst some of the schools that competed there as well. And I do want to just mention a couple of standouts for Batesville. Lydia Haskamp was the top female performer across all divisions at the high school level, a score of 293. She had 23 tens. Batesville Middle School, Barshath Rajesh, was the top middle school performer at the competition with a 288, 21 tens for Rajesh. And at the elementary division, it was Rebecca Seibert was third among all elementary girls with a score of 270. So just a couple of the top performers from the NASP state tournament. You can read more over at EagleCountryOnline.com. So we have gotten through a lot of stuff on the show. I did not leave myself enough time to really thoroughly talk about the Cincinnati Bengals. That's okay. You maybe didn't want to hear my take anyways. Basically, the big news of the day, T. Higgins, who has been franchise tagged by the team, has officially requested a trade. And I'll just quickly say, if he wants a trade, I think the Bengals should try to find a partner to facilitate that trade and stock up on some draft capital. That's where I'm at. It's not really in their nature historically to do that, but in my world of fantasy GM, I would go ahead and trade them and pick up some extra draft picks, but not giving away. They got to get a good deal. That's all I really wanted to say. So that's going to do it for tonight's show. As always, thank you so much for tuning in to Crunch Time, presented by Ortho Cincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. We do it every Monday, 6 to 6:30, right here on Eagle Country 99.3 and at EagleCountryOnline.com.